Tibeca,
the podcast for London lovers, Anglophiles, and critical believers. RevLab. Guten Tag, liebe Podcast-Community, und herzlich willkommen zum Podcast «More Tea Vicar». Ich bin Pfarrerin Carla Maurer und ich rede mit Menschen, die im Grossstadtdschungel leben und überleben, und mit Menschen, die mich als Pfarrerin an der Schweizer Kirche in London inspirieren. Die heutige Episode ist ein Nostalgietrip für mich. Wir gehen nämlich nach St. Gallen. Ich rede mit dem Scotty Williams, der vor über 10 Jahren seiner Schweizer Liebe von Minnesota über Kenia ins Aargau gefolgt ist. In St. Gallen hat er eine Kirche für englischsprachige Protestanten gepflanzt und eine Familie gegründet. Mit dem Scotty rede ich über die Freuden und Herausforderungen, sich in der Schweiz zu integrieren, darüber, was die traditionellen europäischen Kirchen von schwarzamerikanischen Kirchen lernen können. Und Scotty verratet uns seine Lieblingsorte in der Schweiz und in St. Gallen. Und er bringt uns in den Flusskanton der Schweiz, der Kanton, wo die meisten Schweizer und Schweizerinnen sonst nur ein müdes Lächeln übrig haben. Ich habe St. Gallen 1999 nach der Matura verloren. Zuerst zum Studium in Bern, und nachher hat es mich weitergezogen nach Straßburg in Frankreich und dann daher nach London. Ich darf mir ja gar nicht vorrechnen, wie lange das her ist. 22 Jahre. Aber in meinem Herzen bin ich immer ein St. Galler-Mädchen geblieben. In St. Gallen reden die Menschen so wie ich. Und ich so wie sie. Zumindest fast. Und obwohl ich kein Fußballfan bin, wird der FCSG immer mein Fußballclub bleiben. Nur meine St. Galler-Freundinnen können sich an den Tag all drei Jahre erinnern, wie wir in hübschen, weissen Spitzenröckchen mit allen Schulklassen der Stadt in einem Umzug auf die Kinderfestwiese raufgelaufen sind, wo es eine Bratwurst mit Bürli gegeben hat, natürlich ohne Senf, und wo wir bis Mitternacht haben dürfen auf einer der drei grossen Bühnen Disco tanzen. Nur St. Galler kennen den Stolz, an einem auswärtigen Besucher die total unterschätzte Schönheit von unserer Heimatstadt zu zeigen, die Geschichte vom irischen Mönch und Stadtgründer Gallus zu erzählen und in den grossen Stofffinken über den kostbaren Boden in der Stiftsbibliothek zu gleiten. Ein Kaffee im Milchhäusli, wenn man über drei Weihern spaziert ist und an einem schönen Tag bis am Bodensee abgesehen hat. Die Hoffnung, dass man im Tierpark Peter und Paul endlich einmal den Luchs sieht. Die binäre Bahnhofsuhr, wo keiner lesen kann, aber schon noch schön aussieht. Und der mittlerweile ein bisschen verwetterte rote Platz der Künstlerin Pippi Lotte Rist. Und natürlich, jeder Hennenscheiss ein Gassenfest, wo man alle, aber auch wirklich alle sieht. Ihr hört, mein Herz schlägt für St. Gallen. Und mein letzter Besuch ist viel zu lang her. Mit einer trennenden Pandemie habe ich nicht gerechnet, als ich damals vor 22 Jahren den Koffer gepackt habe. Darum freut es mich umso mehr, dass mich heute Scotty virtuell nach St. Gallen mitnimmt. Ich bin ein Weggezogene und rede mit einem Zugezogenen.
Just remember that I had to bring a watch so we don't go too much over time. You're looking good.
Thank you. We had lots of snow started coming again. The weather was getting strange, but today it's very sunny.
I know that happy birthdays are in play, so happy birthday, Scotty.
Thank you.
I hope you're having a good day.
I am. It's just spending it with family, and you know, my wife gave me this. And
the new National Baptist hymnal.
So I was raised in the National Baptist Convention. It's a Black African-American Baptist denomination. And it's the oldest one, and my ancestors helped to start it. And so this was the hymnal, the very one I grew up with.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so my wife managed to get it, so there's lots of memories.
Oh, amazing. Are you going to use it in church services?
I will. And then when I go home and visit National Baptist churches, I'll have this with me.
Brilliant. So it's really good to be with you today. It obviously makes me a bit nostalgic because where you are in St. Gallen, that's kind of home for me, where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been since Christmas 2019. And where you grew up, I believe that's Louisiana in the United States, and you migrated to Switzerland, to St. Gallen. So what brought you to St. Gallen and to Switzerland?
I grew up not only in Louisiana, but in Minnesota, and I went to theological school in Minnesota. And then in 2006, one of my good friends, he invited me for New Year's to come to Switzerland. The summer of 2006, I had done my land vicariat, a part of it, in Kenya, and he did his in Muri. And the family that my friend stayed with invited him to come back and to bring me along. So it just so happened that that family was the family of my wife. And so after my visit to Switzerland, my first visit, I came back again. My wife and I started dating. And then in 2010, we were married. And I came to Switzerland in the summer of 2010. And after that, I got a post, a parish in Zurich, 5 years, the International Protestant Church. And when that call was done, I was invited to come to St. Gallen by the cantonal church to start a English-speaking community. And so that's how I came here in a nutshell.
And that's All Souls Protestant Church that you planted. It's a church plant, is that right? So maybe you can explain to our listeners, I think in the United States and also in Great Britain, church plants, fresh expressions, that's a fairly common concept nowadays. And it's also often spoken about in Switzerland. But perhaps just explain again, what is a church plant?
A church plant, it is a new community. Fresh expressions, just to make it even clearer, is when you have new ways of doing church to invite people back into an existing church or denomination. And church planting is starting a community from the ground up. So it's not just that we have like a theme, heavy metal church or spaghetti plaus church, that an expression that attracts people. It's just that we started a church and the language is English instead of German. So it's starting a church from the ground up, coming up with a book of confessions, inviting people to be a part of this community, and just what we all have in common is, apart from the Christian faith, English.
Yeah. And how did it work out? How did you even start? You've been called to St. Gallen to plant a church for English-speaking Protestants. How did you even begin?
Oh, it actually began before the call. So at the end of my time in Zurich at the International Protestant Church, at the end of my time there, I started saying, okay, you know, you feel that it's time to move on. And I was feeling that. And I said, well, what would I do next? So my wife and I prayed about it. And it became clear that church planting was the next step. I had wanted experience in that field. Then I got invites, one to a seminar in Zurich, where Nadia Boltz Weber, who a Lutheran pastor from the States, who started House for All Saints and Sinners, she spoke and talked about church planting. And then at the same time, there was an invite to a conference from City to City Europe. That's an organization started by Timothy Keller of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York. And this conference was in Paris. And so while I was at the conference, it happened that a friend of mine, who's also a church planter, he's in Geneva. His name is Sol Magura, and he started Redeemer Grace Geneva. And it just so happened he was there. And I told him about this feeling about church planting. And he said, go back to your hotel room. And he says, and I want you to dream. I want you to just imagine a church. Imagine its polity, its theology, its discipline. He said, even come up with a name. And when your wife, it was in Paris, so she figured, you know, it was a weekend getaway. So the week at the end of that week, my wife came to Paris. And then we were at a cafe next to Notre Dame. And I had this vision for a church plant, this imaginary church, had it written down on paper, and I presented it to her. And she liked everything that she saw on it except for the name. Because I picked All Saints because it was La Toussaint, All Saints Day, the day before. So I said, oh, All Saints sounds nice. And my wife said, I don't like All Saints. it sounds too exclusive. Is there another name for the day? And I said, well, All Souls Day is another name. And she said, I like that. She said, not everyone's a saint, but everyone has a soul. Yeah, so it was All Souls. And when I returned to Zurich, to my church, I met with the senior pastor, Douglas Brower, and he asked me just to tell him how the conference was. And I told him, well, I have this imaginary church that I came up with. And so he reads it over and he said, this gives me chills. I said, why? He said, while you were gone, I got an email from a pastor named Simon Brandt from Église Française de Saint-Gall, the French-speaking Reformed Church of Saint-Gallen. And she says that the cantonal church is looking to start something in English. And he looked at what I wrote and he said, you've written a church plant proposal and you don't even know it. He said, so change this, and then present it to the Kirchenrat of St. Gallen. And on Easter of 2016, I believe it was, 2016, we launched All Souls Protestant Church.
So if anyone wants to plant the church out there, now you know how to go about it. It starts with a dream and the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And relationships. Mm-hmm. And the church is based in St. Mangen, which also for me has like an important place in my heart because I used to go to youth groups there. So I'm very familiar with that church.
Now
you're in Rotmonten. Well, yeah. I mean, I grew up on that hill. So Rotmonten, I know very well as well. I went there to youth groups as well. I think I probably went to youth groups to most of the churches in St. Gallen, to be honest. Yeah. Now it's in Rotmonten. And who comes to the church?
People of all walks of life and all levels of commitment. So we stressed commitment over obligation. So we told people, you're not obligated to come. What's your level of commitment? We have people of all walks of life, even homeless people, sometimes will attend different levels of faith. So we have people who are even atheist, agnostic, Muslims. And we have now, at the moment, I think, people who are members and affiliates, they are from maybe 8 or 9 different countries. Even our music team is international. Our cantor, she is from Hong Kong, the lead singer from Hong Kong. Our guitarist, he's from St. Gallen. And then our organist and pianist, she is from Australia.
What brings you together is the language, is that right?
So it started out as the language, but then we created this culture really where everyone was welcome. And this was a surprise for me because my heart was to welcome everyone. It's easy for the pastor to say everyone is welcome, but people feel that spirit of welcoming through the congregation. And I remember the exact moment where it became evident this is the spirit of that congregation. There was a homeless guy coming to the church looking for his fix of wine. He had asked me, he saw the dog collar, and he says, are you a priest? I said, well, I'm a pastor. He said, is there communion today? Yes, there is. Will there be a cup? And I said, yes, there will be. And I'm thinking he will be greatly disappointed when there is no wine. It's grape juice. But he came to the service and I watched as people sat next to him and they didn't put distance. They sat right next to him. Then when it came time for communion, a mother with 2 children took him by the hand. The 2 children also took him by the hand. And they brought him to the altar or the table. And you know, in St. Mangen, the altar has this wide space around it. So we would sometimes make a circle around the altar and pass the bread and cup. And he joined us there. And so it's international. The community is multicultural. It's also different milieus, different, I'm careful with the term, but social classes. And then different languages are now coming in. So we do some songs sometimes in Spanish, Swahili, German, High German, Swiss German, English, French.
So it's fair to say that you created an atmosphere or a culture that perhaps people miss in churches, in other churches in St. Gallen, and they find it in All Souls Church, even though English might not be their first language, but it's really the culture and the atmosphere that attracts them.
Yes, it's the culture, the atmosphere. And also, I think sometimes in the cantonal church system, it's a beautiful system that we have, you know, so I'm not criticizing it, but sometimes in any church system, I'd say people fall between the cracks and they disappear. And All Souls is one of those spaces for those people that fall between the cracks.
That's amazing.
And when I say that, you know, there are people, our church system is so specific. The church culture is so specific. And there's a certain type of person that's at home in it. But you have, for example, amongst the Swiss people, the native Swiss, people that they call crypto Catholics, who like a liturgy that's a little more high church and not just standard reform. And our liturgy is a mix of Lutheran and Presbyterian, which is a little higher than standard Swiss reform.
So we could say that All Souls is really the church for people who fall between the cracks in the traditional Reformed church.
Yes.
That's a beautiful image. I really like that. I would like to ask you something else, because a lot of our listeners are Swiss people who emigrated to London or to Great Britain. And obviously we all miss Switzerland. We miss the possibilities of traveling forth and back. Now, you came over from the United States. You settled in Switzerland. What were the joys and challenges of integrating in Switzerland or of living in Switzerland?
The joys of integrating in Switzerland was that in America, the United States, where I'm from, it's a racialized society. So people a lot of times see skin color first. And in the States, there was this challenge in this racialized history. And I get to Switzerland and it was just different. I was the American. And so it was a joy just to, for a while, be American. It was also a joy being in an atmosphere where there was different languages, a different culture, things work in Switzerland. Where I'm from, the bus, for example, will show up. It will be scheduled to show up or to arrive at 8 a.m., but it will arrive at 9:30. And the bus driver will just tell you, will be grateful that a bus has come. But in Switzerland, if they are 1 minute late,
they apologize profoundly.
Yeah.
You haven't even noticed the delay of the bus, but they still apologize, right?
Yeah. And so just everything's efficient. And also, I was in a village in Aargau, Zetzwil, and the people were very helpful. Even with learning the language, it was very helpful. But then with the language, that's where the challenges showed up, because the Swiss-German part, they speak one language and they read and write another. And I had never encountered that before. And I already am mostly bilingual when I came to Switzerland. And so then learning this new language, Swiss-German, and I remember they said, well, just learn Hochdeutsch or Hochdeutsch and you'll be okay. And I tried learning High German, and with Swiss people, they just went right back into Swiss German. And so conversations would morph. Like, I wouldn't understand anything at the end of the conversation. So then I asked the neighbor to help me, and this neighbor helped me to learn Swiss German. I'm still learning, but that was a challenge.
But you can understand it now and speak a bit?
For the most part.
Congratulations, not just for your birthday, but for understanding Swiss German.
It's harder for me to understand certain dialects. So my father-in-law, who's from a village not too far, maybe 6 kilometers away in the next valley, so it's not so far away, I can't understand him at all. Yeah, so the language was a challenge. The other thing is seeing how difficult it is to change things. The Swiss are a little resistant to change. And if they want you to change things, and that's what I found in the work that I'm doing, I was invited to change things. And then I came here with these new concepts and things like that. And then people said, why are you doing it that way? I'm like, well, I have to do it this different way because it won't work the old way. And then they say, well, no, you have to go through this channel and be very careful. And so change comes very slowly. That's one. Another is, a Swiss friend of mine gave it this term. He calls it deviant management. And he said, in most places with management or with standards, the standard is clear. And if you deviate from it, someone comes along and says, okay, these are the rules, it's okay, and you get back in line. But in the Swiss system, you come in and no one tells you the standards or the rules. Everyone is just expected to know them. And when you deviate from the standard, someone will come back and almost in kind of a harsh way say, why are you doing that? Get back in line. And then I found if you ask for help, this was another challenge with integrating. with certain things, people say, well, why don't you know that? They get kind of annoyed that you're asking for help. So those are some of the challenges of integrating in my experience. And then also, because I'm a person of color, a Black man, sometimes people would assume that I was African. Well, I mean, I am African, but straight out of Africa. African immigrants, for example, are refugees. And then they would tell me of their challenges. And so, you know, so then I'd hear their challenges, and that was quite unique, their challenges to integrate. I would say this in Switzerland, and it's everywhere, though. You have two types of people with the issue of refugees, those who really want to help and really want to open society and share what society has. And then there are those who want to hold on to what we have, and they want to push refugees away. There are people like that in every society. Another interesting thing I noticed about the Swiss, and this was a challenge, is that there was a lot of infighting between the Swiss German folks in particular. And then someone explained to me, they said, yes, we are all fighting in the same direction. So they said Swiss progress is one where we fight in the same direction.
You know, it's interesting because I've been away from Switzerland now for, oh, how long is it? Maybe 12 years. And, you know, you always kind of play with the thought of going back. You probably play with that thought as well, I guess. It's just what you do as a migrant. And listening to you, I think if I were ever to move back to Switzerland, I think I would probably have to ask you what to expect, because you kind of tend to forget these things, right? And as you being a person who came to Switzerland and had to adapt to the Swiss culture, you probably would be the best person to prepare me for my return. So if I ever come back to Switzerland, you'll be the person to ask what to expect.
Thank you. It's interesting you say that about, you know, the things that you forget, because also, at least in the Swiss-German part, even the regions are vastly different. So when I came here, Aargau, for me, Aargau is home, my home in Switzerland, my home canton. But I've forgotten how things in Aargau are. They're so different from St. Gallen. And then there are times where I forget that I'm in St. Gallen. When I go home to Aargau to visit my in-laws there, I will readjust and, you know, remember this is the way it is in Aargau. Then I come back to St. Gallen and I forget that I'm in St. Gallen. I'll be doing things like I'm in Aargau. And people will say, you know, where are you? This isn't Bern, or this isn't...
Like using the cliche, you drive really fast, for instance. That's all I know about Aargau, because no one knows anything about Aargau unless you are from there, except that they drive really fast.
Yeah.
So you're an Aargau driver in St. Gallen. No, I don't know. That's a total cliche. Sorry about that.
I use public transport a lot. My wife, though, has the car, and so she does most of the driving. So
you can't fulfill the one Aargau cliche that everyone knows.
I can't. But the way I count when I speak Swiss German, that's when people know that...
Yeah, you're clearly not from St. Gallen, I can tell straight away. Before we come to the end, one more thing I wanted to ask you. You also teach at the University of Basel as a lecturer at the moment, and a course called Rest, Resist, Return, about the traditions of Black American religion. Is that correct? What do you teach your students, and also what can you teach us and the listeners of this podcast?
Okay, well, here it is in a nutshell. The purpose of the class, the reason I wanted to do this is I noticed that there's an interest in Black American religion in Switzerland, lots of gospel choirs, but people don't know the theology behind it, the stories behind it, and it becomes entertainment for a lot of people. The same with music by Bach or some, it's entertaining. So I wanted to be able to explain our religion, and so I picked three themes that are central to Black American religion. It's about rest, rest from oppression, resisting oppression, and then return to a state of dignity, a state of self-love, things like that. And so I'm slowly taking my students through these themes and through the history of Black American religion and showing them what it's like to have a religion that is not of, how should I put it, a religion that's not of empire, a religion that wasn't founded from the privileged native position, but one that was founded on the outside. I'm using this class also to prepare our students and just to prepare people for how to live in a Europe where Christianity is not the main show in town and where Christians no longer have the privileges that they used to have at the place of privilege. And the African-American church knows that well because it was founded in slavery. It was heavily persecuted. It's always been a church on the margins. And so I'm taking our traditions and helping people in the Swiss context to see that, because the way I see Swiss society going, it's not that the church is becoming less relevant. It's just that there's a shift in the culture as things become more multicultural, and as the millennials and the generation after them is coming up, the way that church is seen, the way that church is valued is different. It's no longer the main show in town. And so how can I help Christians in Switzerland, even with free churches, to prepare for a time where we're no longer the main show in town? And so I think the Black church tradition has a perspective and resources for that. That's what I'm doing in Basel. And my hope is I'd like to, if the university is willing, start a center or a component of African-American religious studies there, or African-American studies even, because I think that, again, our perspective could really enrich the church context here. So what I can teach is how to be a Christian in a time when we're no longer the main show in town, when we're no longer the ones with the privilege.
Brilliant. So Scotty has some really good book recommendations for us, and we will put the titles of those in the show notes for you to order and read. Thank you very much. That's great. Before we come to the end, I just wanted to ask you, what are your favorite places, top three, in Switzerland and in St. Gallen?
My three favorite places in Switzerland. My most favorite is Basel. I love Basel. It's my favorite city in the whole country. So Basel, another favorite place. It's in Aargau, and it's the Wienental. It's my favorite place there.
You're really advertising Aargau. I think that's amazing, because it's really the canton no one knows anything about.
Actually, I love Aargau. The Wienental, it's the canton of rivers, you know, and I'm from close to the Mississippi River. I love rivers. And so Wienental is a beautiful place. Also in Aargau, the Aarburg, which is a nice, beautiful fortress there. So I love, the Wienental, all of Aargau, I love. And then another place in Switzerland that's really nice is Lausanne, very beautiful city. In St. Gallen, my three favorite places are, of course, the Stiftsbibliothek, then the Splügeneck, that area, that corner. I love that. I also love, close to where I live, Wittenbach, and I just love the surrounding areas, the Wanderweg, the hiking trails there. And then a third favorite place I'd have to say is Peter and Paul, the Peter and Paul Weg. In the summers, I take my fitness hikes up and down the entire way there. So those are my three favorite places in St. Gallen.
Oh, amazing. And I really, really would love to have a beer with you in the Splügeneck, because I think that's definitely also one of my favorite places in St. Gallen. It's just amazing. In the summer, stand out there, have a beer, see everyone, talk to everyone. Yeah, I definitely miss it. And I hope we can travel soon again. When I'm next in St. Gallen, we're going to have a pint in the Splügeneck together.
Yeah, we also have to go to the brew pub as well. It's right below St. Mangen and in the street below Goliathstrasse. And the owner, he's from Denmark, Oli. And Oli's just a wonderful guy. His favorite beer is Sweet Baby Jesus.
Oh, is that one when you turn left and then like go down on that little square with the tattoo shop?
Yes.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so Oli's just an amazing, amazing guy. And he loves having pastors there.
That's the place for us to go. You have to introduce me in all the new bars in St. Gallen, because I think I'm terribly out of date.
Definitely, yeah. And Oli always asks for prayers. And so like that's another thing we do at All Souls is, so, you know, we pray for the local businesses here. And so Oli is always asking for prayer. And so we include him in the prayers of the people.
Thank you so much for your time and for talking to me. Give my very best wishes to St. Gallen.
Yes, and greetings from us to the people at the Swiss Church.
Ja, die traditionellen Kirchen verlieren ihre Allmachtstellung in der Gesellschaft. Der eine bereitet eine schlaflose Nacht und sie versuchen krampfhaft das Modell von der Vergangenheit zu retten. Die anderen sehen es als grosse Chance und lassen sich von kleinen Sonntagsgemeinden nicht entmutigen. Dass unsere Kirchen zu einem Randphänomen werden, ist ja keine neue Erfahrung. Sie ist einfach neu für unseren kulturellen Kontext. Wenn wir aber über unseren Tellerrand hinausschauen, in andere religiöse und kulturelle Kontexte, finden wir viel Inspiration fürs Kirchensein vom Morgen. Und es ist schon voll im Gang. In der nächsten Episode rede ich mit der Künstlerin Mary Branson, die das Glasfenster im britischen Parlament zum 100-jährigen Jubiläum vom britischen Frauenstimmrecht gemacht hat und die auch das Kunstkomitee der Schweizer Kirche in London leitet. Gegenwartskunst in Kirchenräumen, das ist genau eine von diesen neuen Kirchenarten, die sich im Moment auftut und wo Kunstszene und auch Kirchen herausfordert und inspiriert. Hört rein.